Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 15 as we close out this chapter and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and praise. I thank you for my family that's down from Missouri, and Lord, that they would be blessed tonight. And so, Father, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Adorn Yourself in the Beauty of Holiness. And so as we expound the rest of this chapter, we're going to see that this has been a very touchy topic in the Christian world. But we have to see what God has to say, and we have to take it in the contents of, as it was written. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to read verses 9 through 15, and then we're going to ask the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to. Amen. So let's look at verse 9. In like manner, also that the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Verse 10, but which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Verse 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, as we go further, we're going to see this scripture, how it pertains to us today. Can I get an amen? Verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. You notice how it shifts now. It goes from adorning, and then it goes back to the garden. Well, God's saying something tonight, and we need to look a little further. We need to go a little deeper tonight to understand these things. And then as we close out that chapter, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Amen? Amen. So let's look at verse 9 again. In like manner also that the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Saints, as the men were to show their right attitudes with holy hands, remember when we picked it up from, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and the men were called to lift up holy hands. Well, it was a tradition during Israel times when this book was written, and also in the Old Testament, that the Levite priest had an order to things. And so we see here that Paul is writing to Timothy regarding this verse of Scripture. Now, we have to look closely at here, because the women in the Ephesian congregation were to show their holy attitudes with a modest outward appearance. You see, you got to understand that during the times in the book of Ephesians and also in Corinthians, it was very worldly. And has anything changed in 2,000 years? It's still worldly, isn't it? Oh, yes. You can look at our society right now and you can see it's godless. Unless God gets a hold of you and changes you from the inside out, the value of this, our society right now, it's sliding down a slippery slope. I hope you know that. There's things that I don't even want to watch on TV anymore. Praise God. I'm looking at it now that television set is like a big, giant, one-eyed devil looking right at you. Because it's godless, isn't it? You know how much sin is on there now? And now they flaunt their sin with homosexuality and these abominations that God calls today an abomination. Can I get amen? And so women's standard for dress was to be characterized by decent and appropriate clothing, as Paul was alluding to and writing this to Timothy. Paul's appeal was here to good taste and good sense with the culture. You got to understand, during that culture, women were considered secondary. They were to always be silent. And that hasn't changed in the Muslim faith. Did you know that? Till this day, they even beat their woman. Oh my gosh. But see, Paul was, he understood the culture, but he also understood what the Holy Ghost would do. Because God radically changed him. Can I get an amen? Oh yes, he did. And so Paul's appeal here was to good taste and good sense with the culture. Women believers were to dress their behavior in a manner that comprehended rather than clashed with the character. Let me just say this, sister saints. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, he will clothe you from the inside out. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. He will clothe you in his righteousness. Praise God. You know how the world mindset was before? And God radically does that inside job. Women who worship in the Christian church should not be given to ostentation, costly attire, and excessive adornment. Neither was seductive or sexually suggestive clothing appropriate. It wasn't. And it should never be. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Holy Ghost needs to clothe you. And let me just say this. I'm talking as men too. You got to check yourself at the door before you leave. One of the things that I praise God, I can't speak for every family. I can't speak for every marriage. I can't speak for every couple. But my wife and I, we have an understanding that before we leave our house, we check ourselves at the door. We don't want no flesh to be exposed. Can I get an amen? The only thing that I want to see is my own wife. Can I get an amen? In the privacy of a marriage. And for husbands that are listening to this on the internet, radio waves, wherever it's being spoken tonight, man, cover your wife. Can I get an amen? With godliness. Watch out before she leaves out that door. Man, you know why? Because there's wolves out there. Can I get an amen? They just want to lurk and they, ooh, wow. Man, I'm telling you, clothe her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're going to see a little later at the end of this passages is how deceptive Satan is. Jesus set women free during this time. They were in bondage. They were almost like slaves. But Jesus set them free. Free. He treated them as human beings. He recognized and responded to their needs as human needs. Listen, your wife, a sister, is no different from a brother. We're all equal according to the scripture. We're all equal when we come to the cross. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? And if God wants to use a sister to bring a word, man, I've heard some sisters that can bring it. Show up a brother. I've heard it. Praise God. And so he proved himself to be their savior too. Jesus. I'm telling you, he loves women. And he was very close to them. You see, saints, the accepted view in the time of Christ was as property rather than persons back then. In other words, I own you. You're like my slave. But Jesus came to set the captives free. Can I get amen? Jesus personally shattered that conception. The gospel offered to women the gift of personhood. They were worthy of salvation. Can I get an amen? Look what it says up here in the Word. In Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. This is what God has done to the saints, to the women that glorify God and magnify God, that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? See, the world can't speak of these things. They are in a type of bondage right now in the culture that we live in. Oh, yes. But look how the New Testament describes godly women. Wives, likewise, in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. You know what? I've seen this so many times. I've seen where two people, one comes into the saving knowledge, and sometimes it's the wife that gets saved first, or it could be a vice versa. But I've seen where she walks in holiness when she gets saved, and eventually the husband gets saved. Why? Because the only Bible study, the only thing that he will ever hear is her life. A life of honor unto God. Look at this. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let be the hidden person of the heart. It's all about the issue of the heart. Did you know that? And when God does a mighty work in your heart, man, women become that flower in his garden. Women become that precious pearl in his hand. Hallelujah. And I know some awesome godly women that love the Lord, and anything spoken of them is glory to God. Look what God has done in their lives, or what he's doing in their lives. Rather, let it be hidden, the person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Oh, yes. And then I've seen the opposite side, even in the church, contentious. You know, wanting to assert their authority. Nah, just be humble. Stay humble. Be humble. Look at this. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid of any terror. That was a really godly example. And there are many godly women in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, which were mighty examples before God. So let's go back now to verse 10. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let me just say this. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a woman's life, you're going to see fruit. You're going to see God. You know, God starts doing that miraculous work. Listen, I know some sisters that from the world, and when they got saved, they were transformed. Oh, my gosh. Beyond belief. You say, no, that ain't you now, is it? Oh, yeah. It's what God has done. Listen, when God gets a hold of a heart, man, I'm telling you, he does the miraculous. Can I get an amen? He'll raise that person from the dead. Hallelujah. And bring forth life and light. You see, saints, a carefully groomed and well-decorated exterior is artificial and cold without inner beauty. There's an inner beauty that Paul wants to allude to, that scriptures want to allude tonight. Scriptures does not permit a woman from wanting to be attractive. Can I get amen? Come on, God wants women to be attractive and to bring glory to God. Not like the world, though. The world's different. I remember when I attended Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, and Pastor Leo asked me to head up a prayer ministry. There was 3,500 people at this church. So we had a 7:45. We had a 9:30, 11:15, and then a 6 o'clock service. It was four services, and then one on Wednesday night. And this is where God had allowed Yolanda and I to really start plowing in the ministry. This is where we learned how to serve the Lord. But I'll never forget, the main service was 9:30. And I used to sit in the very front waiting for the altar call. Pastor Leo was in the book of Acts. And there was at least at 9:30, I'm going to say about 1,500 people. That's a whole lot of folks, because that was the main service. And this one girl would come and sit in the front like clockwork. And I was like, is anyone going to address this sister right here sitting here? She would come in, you know, really with clothes that were really low and everything falling out, right deliberately in the front where Pastor Leo was preaching. Finally, someone needs to say something here. That's a spirit. That's a spirit of lust. That's a spirit of deception. And he's taking, and she's here with a Jezebel spirit. And finally, someone woke up and said, hey, you can't come in there like that no more. I was like, come on. Listen, God does the miraculous in our lives. Can I get an amen? And he does the inner work. And so we have to allow the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to do that mighty work. You see, saints, beauty, however, begins inside of a person. Can I get an amen? Sister, I need you to come back here now. You're not getting away. Amen. Thank you. I'm free. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now I can move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Saints, beauty begins in a person. Can I get an amen? A gentle, modest, loving character gives light to the face that cannot be duplicated by the best cosmetics and jewelry in the world. It can't. It has to be on the inside. Can I get an amen? God will adorn the exterior, but it first starts with the heart and with the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings. Thank you, Jesus. Christian women are not to try to be unattractive. No. Come on. He didn't ask you guys to look like petrified rocks. That's not what the Holy... He clothes you with his beauty. And he causes you to be beautiful on the exterior, but it first starts inside. Can I get an amen? I know for some sisters, this is difficult scriptures, but wait, we have to talk about them. Can I get amen? We got to go through the book. Thank you, Jesus. Paul called them to reject the world's standard for attractiveness. You know, the world has a way. The world has a look. And you know what that look is. But God has a different look. God wants women to adorn themselves in the beauty of holiness and to cover up. Don't expose anything. You don't need... No, why? Because in the churches across the land, look what's happening in our society right now. Look at all these blankets that are being pulled. And look at all these molesters and these people, these men walking around with lust in their heart. Don't give them a reason. Can I get an amen? Don't even let them look at nothing. He's not supposed to be looking. He's supposed to be there for Jesus if he's at church. Can I get an amen? When I was at North Park Apostolic, all the single brothers sat in the front. Why? Why did they sit in the front? Because they didn't want you sitting in the back checking out everyone. Oh, that's right. That's right. Man, we had to be obedient to that. Can I get an amen? I remember, though, it was on a Sunday morning. Some gangbangers came and sat way in the back. And we turned around, and we saw them there, man. You know, this was a predominantly black church, so these were like a black gang up back there, you know. And they had bandanas too, and I don't know if they were sporting red or whatever color you know, the Crips were red, I think, and then I forgot who the other one was. Blood, yeah. But they were in the back, and I know why they came. They were checking out the sisters in the choir. Well, Bishop Trout brought a word, and the anointing came. And when the anointing came, the altar call was given, and several of them fled out. But the one, it looked like he was the leader. Man, God was calling that brother. He came to the altar, man. And all of us brothers that were sitting in front, we got up right away. Okay, what does he want? But he came up. And then we saw that he was weeping. He came to the altar like this. And then he started emptying his pockets, drugs. He put his gun down. And he gave us heart right there on the spot because the anointing came. Hallelujah. And did you know, 6 months later, he became a deacon in the church. Why? Because the power of God came. Changed his heart. He was there for the wrong reasons, but God called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, in the Old Testament, look what it says in the Old Testament. In Job 40:10. Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor and array yourself with glory and beauty. Sisters, this is for all the sisters in the Christian church. I can't speak for the world. The world has their own mindset. But in the church, allow God to clothe you with his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Why? Why does the Old Testament speak of these things? Well, it points to the New Testament. Look it up here in Romans. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make what? No provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Listen, this flesh wants to sin 24/7. It does. Our flesh wants to have a Burger King life, having it its own way. But we have to subject our flesh. We got to die to self. Can I get an amen? You have to die to self. And I know it hurts, but you got to die to self. Thank you, God. So let's go now to verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Does that mean that a sister in church has to be quiet? No. Many women have read these verses and been distressed. How many of you have heard some powerful sisters preach and teach? Come on. To understand these verses, we must understand the situation which Paul and Timothy worked. In the first century Jewish culture, a woman were not allowed to study. Jews and Gentiles regarded it disgraceful for women to discuss these issues with men in public. So you have to take it for the context of which this was written. Once again, they were considered secondary to the men. But the Jews were stricter, not even allowing women to teach the male children past the age of 5. That was their culture. In Greek philosophy, Plato granted women equality with men. Aristotle severely limited their activities. So there was a whole bunch of conflicting views back then. It was all convoluted. When Paul said that women could learn, he was affirming their recognition as teachable members of the church. Praise God. And look how it was written in the book of Titus here. Let's go there. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Now, the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. Man, I know some godly sister saints that are awesome teachers. And you know what? They personify Christ in them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is living inside. And so when the Holy Ghost takes residence, it's God who transforms. Can I get an amen? God does that mighty work. Look at verse 4 here. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste. praise God when I was visiting my son. And I was introduced to a friend that it appears they have attraction to one another. She wanted to meet me. And I sat with her at breakfast. And I said, "Oh, man, you have a nice ring. It's in Hebrew. It's like mine." "What does that mean in Hebrew?" She said, "This is my purity ring." And she got accepted in Princeton for theology and psychology. She wants to be a Christian psychologist. I mean, okay. And I saw, and I was discerning that this woman loves the Lord. And I was like, "Okay, God, if this is the one for my son, then let it be." But I didn't seek her out. She sought me out. She wanted to meet me. And the whole conversation was not about my son. It was about God. It was about the Lord. And that's what our conversation should be most of the time. Amen? About the Lord. What's he done in our life? What's he doing in your life? That we can glorify him and magnify him. Hallelujah. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. When you raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, your grandchildren, they have no one to look but to you. And if you're honoring God, they will honor God too. And then there'll be a time when they'll come into that saving knowledge with Christ. Why? Because you're pointing them to the cross. That's what God called us to do. He called us what? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we would be what? A light seated on top of a hill. That men and women will see the good works in us and glorify God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go to verse 12 in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, "And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men, but to be in silence." Saints, unfortunately, the translation reads as if Paul never permitted a woman to teach. That's not it at all. It's not it at all. Paul was affirming one right to learn and to listen quietly while withholding another right to teach because of the condition of the church at the time. It was all in the contents of what took place during this time it was written. Once again, they were considered secondary. Jesus had to come and set the house in order. Can I get an amen? And what God is doing in a lot of churches, I'm not saying all the churches, but in a lot of churches, God is doing an awesome thing with the sisters. Oh, yeah. There's some beautiful sister saints in our church. I praise God for them. They have the mind to teach. They have the mind to raise up. They have the mind to love their husbands. They have a mind to respect one another. Thank you, Jesus. So some interpret this passage to mean that women should never teach in the assembled church. However, other passages point out that Paul allowed women to teach. And I got proof in the scripture. See, you have to always dig a little deeper. Because there's some churches, they won't let sisters speak in the church. Do you know that? They won't even let them come to the pulpit and exhort. But I got some scriptures to prove otherwise. And I thank God for these two right here. Let's look at this right up here in Acts chapter 18. "Now, a certain Jew named Apollos was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures." So this man was a learned man. He understood the scriptures, but God had to take him from faith to faith to glory to glory. Can I get an amen? He needed more. He needed his understanding to be enlightened. And look who God used to teach this man. Look at this. "This man who had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit, he understood the things of God. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John." Let's move on to the next scripture. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla, look at this, Priscilla, heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. What was that? What was he missing? He was missing something. You remember, John baptized for the baptism of repentance. We're talking about John the Baptist. But he needed a deeper understanding. And so, let's go up here. They taught him that, number one, in order to receive the glory of God, salvation, you have to repent first. See, there's a lot of churches, you just go up there and just say a prayer. And they go back and still live in sin. Repentance has to take place first. Can I get an amen? You got to repent before a holy God. And repentance is not a bad and dirty word. It's a great word. But repentance is no longer preached in churches. Oh, just, you know, fill up the offering bag and let me just give you a good story about yourself. Repent means you're living the course of this world. And God's saying, now make an about face and turn to me. Turn to me now. You've been living a life of debauchery all your life. Now come to me. Because people think, well, you know, when I quit this and when I quit that, and I'll come to church. No, you can't. You're not never going to quit on your own. Bible says, come as you are. And let the Holy Ghost do what he's going to do. So they had to be taught in depth more to repent first. And then look at this. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. You see, the blood has to be applied now. Hallelujah. Your sins has to be eradicated. Your sins has to be destroyed by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. So you got someone that needs to die. And then they have to be buried. Hallelujah. And I'm talking buried deep. Just imagine if you went to a funeral and they buried someone and they were throwing dirt on them and you still saw his face or his nose. That'd be kind of gory, wouldn't it? Kind of gruesome. Or no, man, you got to go. That's why they went at least 6 feet deep. You had to be buried. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? Remission means forgiveness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise. See, this is what people don't understand. When you honor God, you repent, and then you get washed of your sins, and God gives you the Holy Ghost, a promise. Guess what he promises? That your children and your grandchildren will come into the saving knowledge. Can I get an amen? I'm proof of that. I'm a witness to that. And many of you are too. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Look at this. And to all who are afar off. You know, some people think, well, my relative lives 1,000 miles away. Afar off is meaning they have no relationship with Christ. They'll come into the saving knowledge because they're far from the Lord. But they'll come into that saving grace. Come on. That's what God will do. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he will. And so look at this. In Romans. I love this in Romans. Saints, because in addition to Paul frequently mentioned other women who held positions of responsibility in the church, there was this one, and her name was Phoebe. It's spelled different than Phoebe. Look at this. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. I'm showing you that there's women of God that were used mightily. And today, it hasn't changed. God is still using women mightily. Can I get an amen? I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who's a servant of the church in Kentria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever businesses she does and has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Can some of you say you've been a blessing to your church, to your pastor, to the elders, to the deacons, to your husbands, to your children? Now, there's an order, huh? Oh, yeah. And look at these other sisters that I found right here in Philippians. Therefore, my beloved, and long for brethren, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Next verse, look at this. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, to be of the same mind of the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me. Look at that. Who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, also in the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Can I ask you a question tonight? Can you honestly say that your name is written in the book of life? Okay, just me. Come on. Can I see some hands? Are you written in the book of life? That's what God says. When you came into the saving knowledge, he wrote you in the book of life. Thank you, God. I'm so blessed. How many are so blessed to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like living for God. You know, yesterday I celebrated my 59th birthday. And by the grace of God, God has kept me. No, I didn't keep God. God kept me for 29 years. Did you know there's sometimes you can wake up, not even feel saved? Yet God says, I have saved you. I've called you. Remember, it's not about feelings. It's about faith, walking in faith. Holding on to truths. But God will keep you. God's the one that keeps you. Hallelujah. Come on. We're all sinful at nature. Throughout the course of a day, man, you could be in your prayer closet and all these ungodly thoughts come out of nowhere. Where do they come from? Because we still live a body of flesh. And the flesh is not saved. Our soul and spirit, hallelujah, has been transformed by the power of God. How many can't wait for that new body to come? Man, I can't wait for the new body. I was a kid, everyone. That new body that God's prepared for me, I think it has some hair and it'd probably be 60 pounds lighter. Praise God. But God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Can I get an amen? This body is dying. It's not intended to live forever, this body of flesh. It has a time frame. But the new body that God has prepared for us will go on through eternity. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Man, you know, that should be your Super Bowl when he comes and takes us home. Okay. And so it says, they labored in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow worker whose names are in the book of life. Let's go to verse 13. We got two more verses to expound here. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Now it shifts. In the previous letters, Paul discussed male, female roles in marriage. Here he talks about male and female roles in the church. Some scholars see these verses, saints, about Adam and Eve as an illustration of what was happening in the Ephesian church. Just as Eve had been deceived in the Garden of Eden, so the women in the church were being deceived by false teachers. It was the false teachers that says you can't speak. It was the false teachers that told them, you're secondary still. And even though Christ has set your soul free, you remember when we opened up First and First Timothy here. What was the first thing he mentioned about the false teachers that would come in? And they were very deceptive. And Saul, look what Colossians says. How many love the Word of God? Come on. You're going to get Word here. If you don't like the Word, then just, there's other churches that'll give you some really good stories. But we're going to learn the Word, amen? We're going to go deep. We have to look and see what the Scripture, line by line, precept upon precept. Can I get an amen? Look at Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husband as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well and pleasing to the Lord. So did you notice that there's an order? It's God, then the husband, then the wife, then the children. That's God's order. Now, does it make anyone more superior than other? The only one that's superior is God. So just as Adam was the first human created by God, so the men in the church in Ephesus should be the first to speak and teach because they had more training. Eve should have turned to Adam for advice about Satan's words to her. Why? Because Adam had more experience with God's instructions. Did you know God is the one that told Adam, hey, if the day you eat of this tree, you will die. Now, we don't know in Scripture because it's kind of like, it's real gray. But we don't know if Adam gave his wife a Bible study regarding this. God assigned roles and responsibilities in order for his created world to function smoothly, saints. And although there must be lines of authority, even in marriage, there should not be lines of superiority. I've seen some marriages, saints, where, man, the woman is treated rotten. He curses his wife. He beats his wife. I've counseled. I'm not going to mention their names. I've counseled them in the 7 years of pastoring. I've counseled some couples that went to that extreme. Why? It breaks my heart. Because they don't understand the power of God. They don't understand the authority of God. They don't understand their roles, that God had placed them in the kingdom of heaven. Can I get an amen? They have no understanding. And so God is the one that he's the one that instituted marriage and family. God created men and women with unique and complementary characteristics. We must not let the issue of authority and submission become a wedge to destroy what can be excellent working relationships. Those of you that are married, don't you love your husband and don't you love your wife? And don't you get along and you're learning to grow in the grace of knowledge and you're beginning to understand each other, who you are now in Christ? See, the world has their own way, their own agenda. It was me, myself, and I. There was no dying to self. There was no dying to one another. Honey, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Or is it just me, 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 me? God is teaching us something tonight, amen? Or reminding us. That's all. Thank you, God. So let's go to verse 14 in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Uh-oh. I'm glad I'm just the mailman tonight delivering the mail. I didn't write this. It's already written. I'll be gentle, sisters. It says, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Paul was not excusing, though, Adam for his part in the fall. So praise God for that, amen? No, we had a lot to do with it, too. Man had a lot to do with it, too. I like to say it like this. Why was she left alone? Why weren't Adam there with her as she was being deceived? Look at what it says in Genesis 3:6. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Wow. Saints, on the contrary, in his letter to the Romans, Paul placed the primary blame for humanity's sinful nature on Adam. That's right. Adam, the man, the priest, the husband, the brother, whatever. It was his primary responsibility to guard her heart. Husbands, you need to guard your wife's heart. You need to clothe her with prayer, with love, and to always continue to pray for your wife, those of you that are married. Pray for your moms if you're not. Pray for your sisters. Pray for women in general, that God would cover them and protect them. We live in a society of predators. Can I get an amen? Look how many people are being exposed right now. Bunch of creepsters in the world right now. People that you would have never thought. That's the society we live in today. And you know what the danger is? Back in these times, there was no internet. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. They had nothing to just one button and ooh, there it is. Now, the devil made it real easy. Yes, he did. And you know why it's become more grossly enticing? Because the devil knows he only's got about a little bit of time left. So he's on a full-on, he's come with all of his authority right now. It's an onslaught of wickedness and evil in this planet right now. Why? Because he knows Jesus is coming. So the devil wants to take out as many souls as he can. Oh, yes, he does. But the blame goes to the man. Because it's spelled out in Romans. We're almost closing here. Look at this, Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as the one man's offense, judgment came to all men. You see, because he wasn't taking care of the garden. I'm talking about Adam now. Because he wasn't covering his wife, he allowed the enemy to come in and deceive his wife. This is why we started out this lesson tonight. Check your wife at the door. Clothe her. Reassure her. Don't let her expose anything to the world. That should be for your eyes only. Can I get an amen, men? It's real quiet in here. You hear a pin drop. But look at this. Therefore, though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's, look at this, disobedience, many were made sinners. Because of the fall, sin has entered into the world. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Who was that obedient man? Jesus. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God had a plan. God knew that there was going to be failure in the garden. So God made a way of escape for you and I. So 6,000 years later, it's December 6, 2017, God made a way for you and I because of Adam's failure in the garden. Look at this. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, saints, Eve had not been told directly by God about the trees. He told Adam. So if you want to blame anybody, blame the brother. Everyone says, oh, well, she got deceived. No, he should have been guarding his wife. Can I get an amen? I'm taking the hit tonight as a brother, as a pastor, as a man. I'm taking the hit because that's what the Word of God says. The man failed. You just read it for yourself tonight. So let's close out in verse 15 of 1 Timothy. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Saints, Paul responds with the hope of the gospel. It's all about the gospel. It's all about the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So he responds, writing, nevertheless, she'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness with self-control. And that's only the Holy Ghost can do that in a sister's heart. The world has their own mindset. Their children run amok. There's some families that I know, I won't mention them up here, but the children are raising themselves. There's no parental guidance at home. In other words, it's a burden. It should be a joy to raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Can I get amen? It should be an honor. Because children are a gift from the Lord. Always remember that. God intends to save women. He intends to save her to be a fellow heir with man of the grace of life. And we close with this scripture. So sisters, when you leave tonight, know that you are a joint heir with Christ. Never let a man subject you to be any lower. Because in this time that we're reading in, that's how it was. The Jews considered their women secondary. But not in the kingdom of God. Women are precious. They're precious to God. It says right here, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being what? Heirs. You know what an heir is? You ever read a trust document? You ever read a will? You know what an heir is, right? Someone that has been given everything undeserved. We didn't deserve this great salvation, but God chose you. He chose me. And he has promised everything that belongs to him belongs to you and I, even women. Together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So brothers, for those of you that are married, you better honor your wife until Jesus comes. Why? Because if you dishonor your wife, you dishonor your mother, you dishonor your sister, you dishonor your niece, anyone, a co-worker, your prayers will be hindered. God will block everything that you're trying to do. He will cause everything to be still in your life until you get it right, until you learn to honor them no differently than how you honor yourself. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this Bible study tonight. And Lord, I know many couldn't be here tonight, and many are sick, many are celebrating things, but for us that are here and for those who are listening right now, I pray, God, that the Word of God would be an impact in your life. Let the Word of God rise up in you, the hope of glory. For Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And so, Lord, all we did was talk about you tonight. And what the Holy Spirit wrote down for us. Lord, I pray when we leave this place, Lord, that we would continue to honor you and praise you and glorify you and magnify you. I thank you for my family that's here from Missouri, that you would bless their time. I pray, Lord, wherever they go, Lord, they would have divine appointments here. That you would provide every need, every means, Lord, of their stay here in San Diego. Bless them abundantly. Lord, I thank you for the saints that pressed out tonight. And thank you, God, for those who couldn't make it tonight. But I'm praying for maybe just one who's listening to this message right now over the internet. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never allowed God to transform your life. Here's your opportunity, as we would love to pray with you, that you would give your heart to Christ. And just know one thing. It's the prayer that doesn't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. For God gave us all a tool here on earth for all mankind. And that tool is prayer. And the prayer is that we, as sinful as we are, can communicate with the Holy God that's in heaven. So if that's you, I pray, as we taught earlier, that you would repent. Turn to Jesus. Turn from the ways of this world and surrender your heart to Christ and allow him to do the miraculous in your life. And ask him to forgive you of your sins. It's very simple. A child cannot err in this. But we as adults make it very complicated. So Jesus is saying, humble yourself like a child and come to him right now. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you now, God, to come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Is he worthy to be praised?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.